Chapter 11. A beautiful girl opens her sluice gates to pleasure. He took her to the bed, took his bosomy girl to bed, and she lay there face down. He kept just saying, as he played with her hair, "Lovely, beautiful," just whispering these words, as his penis searched for the pleasure in her bottom, and it seemed to him, she opened her thighs a little more widely than she needed, to accommodate his penis, so he wasn't sure how much she was enjoying herself. But it felt like, not only was she putting up no resistance, but at least her hips were willing to communicate pleasure, and an invitation, like her bottom was happy to be blackmailed, if it was a man who had done something so good for her, as pooing in her chastity tutor's house, just for her. He was still being careful with her breasts, but he was caressing them more lovingly and firmly, like he wanted to give her pleasure now, rubbing the nipples, and kissing her, but allowing her to take breaks from his kissing, sensing she needed to hide her face, and thinking perhaps it was to let out silent moan into the pillow. When she did, he played with her hair, whispered about her beauty, stroking her breasts more sensually when she was hiding her face, trying to give her an extra burst of pleasure and enjoyment, and one moment, when she was taking a long time to let him back in her mouth, wondering if it was getting just too much for her, he whispered, and asked her for the moment. She said nothing, but she opened her thighs, and tilted her bottom towards him, and his penis searched for the sluice gates. He realized she had put lubricant there, as if waiting for him, and he found the thought delicious, even if he knew it was possibly just a precaution anyway. He found the thought so delicious, that he smirked to himself, and played with her beautiful hair for a moment, before pushing and penetrating slowly but surely into her anus, through her magical sluice gates, remembering her friends saying she needed a fuck. And he felt it, with his penis in her bottom, he felt what was happening physically with his penis. At the other end, inside that crotch, the spring had come loose, or, no, surely she had loosened it deliberately with her friends, and she had taken the spring into her crotch, right inside, and she was pleasuring herself enormously. Suddenly, he went from a smirk as he entered, to an explosion of warmth all around his hips and thighs, all through his penis, gasping with amazement at what this girl was capable of, because his pooing had got to her, and bothered her the way her breasts and her bottom had bothered him, the way she had bothered him when she undid her top two buttons, and now, it was the fulfillment of the pleasure of his pooing, the wonderful thing he had started, and he was experiencing the promise the sex store had given, that everything that they did, would help the joy of sex, even that dirty blackmail trick, against the D-cups, Palure and all her friends, making his penis so hot and hard when they got caught, their huge, solid tits, mussy tits hanging out, nude, exposed, for them to promote their sexist attitudes, because it was helping these girls, even though they couldn't quite understand it, to enjoy getting to men, so they too could enjoy sex, and now it was really happening for them both, just the way it was promised. And he used her bottom, feeling the spring through it, feeling her reaction, telegraphing to his penis, used it to understand what she enjoyed, when she wanted more, whispering to her, he wanted her to experience pleasure, and even though she shook her head, he kissed her on the cheek and told her, it was coming soon, something will happen between your thighs, and you won't be able to stop it. As he continued pushing his penis in, feeling her crotch around the bed spring, he realized it was wonderful for her, but difficult as well, and he thought, remembering how the sex store encouraged good girls to think about sex, he remembered it was the need for sincere approval that they played on most, so vanity was their weakness but the need for approval was the turning point, and he told her, there was a nice restaurant called Hooters that had just opened on the mainland, and they selected only the best girls, and they had a special fondness for D-cups, and it was owned by the same people who owned the sex store. He told her she might be happier there, away from the pressure here, and they wore proper shirts, that were not see-through, but still nice and revealing, and in return for not having a see-through top, she would be able to wear tight orange shorts, like all the Hooters girls, and for this beautiful girl, it was hard to understand that that was something they had to wear, though for her, it was something to be allowed to wear, and it would be her first chance to show her bottom and her legs nicely, because he knew she thought her ass was her best feature, and wearing a normal top would give her a feeling of privacy, because he knew she was shy about her large and beautiful breasts, and he said she would be more comfortable doing this every day for men, but moderately, with no nude work. And she said, "What about Playboy?" And he told her, "Sometimes they have full pictorials with all the girls at once, and you would be doing it with all of your friends, and it would be a wonderful experience then, but not too extreme." And he realized she was really thinking about it, because she was working the bedspring quietly but very enthusiastically with her little crotch. And she asked, "Would men ask for my phone number?" "Yes, even 20 times a day or more." And she gasped in astonishment, and it seemed the thought of getting away from her strict parents, away from all that judgment, was just too wonderful. And she said, "What about my friends?" He said, "If you want, I can get all of you to go there, all of you in tight, orange shorts. You would be a wonderful asset, and you will make so much money in tips just because of those breasts. Just imagine, your breasts getting all that affirmation." And his penis squelched against her slew skates, and he caressed her breasts, praising them and telling her she wouldn't have to do pornography anymore to find out how valuable they were, how good it was having firm breasts, breasts that were fun for men to play with, but hurtful to look at if they knew they weren't going to touch them. And he smirked at the thought that he was actually playing with them now, as he said these things. And she had a wicked look in her eye that told him she loved the thought of all that jealousy, barely understand as a naive teenager how much they were masturbating. Even now she had seen her impact on him. Is he the hypocrisy? As if her hypocrisy wouldn't let her understand how intense it was for them. And he smiled as he cupped her breasts lovingly, and searched for the pleasure inside her anus, thrusting sensually with his penis, slowly but very meaningfully and lovingly, very lovingly, trying to tantalize her, as he set up the next chance for her to use her bottom the way she loved to. So it was sexist what he was doing to her, with his nasty trap that she had fallen into, his busy hands all over her breasts, just because he had taunted her with the thought of what would happen if she didn't get her clothing back, and she was giving him anal sex because of that fear. But he was exposing her, proving to himself his dirtiest theories about her, and his deepest fantasies about what she was really like, and what made this beautiful girl tick. And he was right. He had been completely right about her, but he couldn't have imagined she would feel pleasure, that he would be the one to prove it all. And she asked him, "But what about what the chastity teachers say?"
"What's that?"
"They say," she said, "I can't keep my pants on for 5 minutes."
"What if it's true?"
"No," he told her, "it's just a phase. You'll be different there, and it'll be much nicer." Then she asked him, "And when will I get my clothing back?" He told her not to worry, surprised that she was asking, and then she said she was worried he would keep it and blackmail her again. He asked her what she meant, sensing something was happening, and she said she was afraid he would make her do something before giving her clothing back. And he realized, from her reaction in her crotch, that she was helplessly desperate, not just for love making tonight, desperate for him to do something to make it continue, and willing to be blackmailed again, and possibly willing to help arrange it all, even now with his penis giving her a bottom fuck. He told her he hadn't thought about it, but that was a wonderful idea, and yes, he would make her. She banged her head on the pillow, as if in despair or frustration, but he felt the response in her crotch, and he knew it was what she wanted. He asked her what she could give him, and she said, "Okay, because I need my clothing, okay, I will give you a nude photo of me, and on the back, I'll write you a long love letter, all about that wonderful love making, how you took my clothing, and how I was nervous at first, but it just became too exciting, and I don't even know how, but I really started enjoying it, and all this in my handwriting, and we can take photos together, and I can wear a lace ribbon over my breasts, and nice panties, as I offer myself to you, as an acknowledged, as a willing and eager, regular lovemaking partner, through the sex store, asking you to make love to me, because the things you do make me feel vulnerable, and you make my crotch wet with desire, because of the forbidden things you do, and we'll take a photo of you stroking my bottom, caressing my bottom, and I'll pay for it with my prize money, and we'll make sure our faces are clear in the photo, and if I give you all these, and my handwriting, I'll have to give you my body again. I mean, I'll have no choice,
And he told her to keep talking about that beautiful letter, and she said she could also give him a video and send it to his phone, and she would talk about everything as well, and she would show her breasts in the nude, the same panties, and talk to him through the video, saying, "I'm wearing the same panties as on the first night we made love, and it was wonderful, and I spent a long time on my hair, just for you, and I wanted you to feel the pleasure, and I didn't mind that it was blackmail." She clearly needed the letter, as well as talking about the video, to communicate about their lovemaking, needed to tell him, without admitting it directly, pretending it was part of the blackmail, and he told her he needed to hear about the things she liked most, what she liked. They could worry about the details later, but she needed to tell him what made sex more enjoyable, how to give pleasure to a beautiful D cup, and she continued to describe it, using the letter to ask him for pleasure, faster or slower thrusting, building a foundation of trust and communication for their love making, telling him she needed to know she was appreciated, that he appreciated her. He told her that the incredible beauty of her hair, as well as her bosom, taking mouthfuls of kisses, with her lips and her tongue, in between talk of the letter. He wanted her to have an orgasm, and there was only one way, and that was just to ask her directly, to simply invite her to have as much pleasure as him.